Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran al-Hakim to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he explains the maqsad, the objective of his coming. Allah ta'ala said that I have sent a prophet to you. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, with which functions that he will, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, first and foremost, he will give you the ilm of the kitab. In other words, which kitab? The Qur'an Hakim. And this, for the ummah, from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was a connection and relationship with the ummah. First and foremost was with the kitab. Second thing was the hikmah. In other words, what? The points about the deen, those explanations, those facts, that through the tariqah, through the sharia, through the methodology and lifestyle of the Holy Prophet ﷺ came to the ummah, which we call the sunnah, which we call the sharia. Those words about Allah's Nabi, his statements, his actions, the pious readers have said that all of these things are based on the hikmah. Wal hikmata. And the third thing that the Prophet ﷺ taught and explained was wa yuzakkihim. In other words, tasawwuf, tazkiyah, to purify the believers. And tazkiyah, purification, is the ruh, the soul of all things. It is the life of the whole deen, is tazkiyah. It's not a new thing, tazkiyah, purification. These three functions the Holy Prophet ﷺ completed and fulfilled with the ummah. He came with these three learnings, that if we continue to implement these three things, then we'll always be successful in this world and in the hereafter. If we have a connection with the kitab, the Quran, the same way that the Holy Prophet ﷺ taught us the kitab, the Quran, and then the examples of the Sahaba Ikram, his noble companions, after that the Salihin, the Abideen, the pious elders, those people who kept the connection with the kitab, with the Quran, that how should we be connected to the Quran? And if the ummah is connected to the Quran, to the kitab, and has the same connection for which the objective, for which objective the Quran came for, then alhamdulillah, this ummah will never be unsuccessful. Every person's success, whatever he wants, then first and foremost what we need to see is that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what does he said, what did he give us instructions with regards to this kitab? Alhamdulillah, people practice on this kitab, they read this kitab, they do hifd of the Quran, they memorize the Quran, they understand it, there's tafaseer of the Quran, there's commentary of the Quran, there's a connection somehow or other with these three things. If we analyze these three things that the Holy Prophet ﷺ brought to the ummah, everyone tries to have a connection with this. Allah, we're grateful to Allah that the ummah is trying its best to be connected. And then when the good people come, the pious people come, then they revive that connection, that you're not doing the right thing, your amal is not correct. The Allah Ta'ala sends good ulama, good scholars, good alims, because Allah Ta'ala wants the deen to continue, isn't it? So it cannot be that a person without this kitab, can he be successful? No. Then the pious people come and they revive the deen, they remind us that there's something lacking here, you're not doing the right thing here, you're committing excess here, about which the Quran has said. In other words, alhamdulillah, the ummah has a connection with these three things that Rasulullah SAW brought. So the first thing was the kitab, the Quran. The second thing that Rasulullah SAW brought to the believers was his tariqah, his sharia, his sunnah. And the situation with regards to this is the same, just like the Quran. There's weakness inside us, in our practices, in our lives. But just like the connection with the Quran we have, we are more weak in the connection with regards to the Sharia and the Sunnah compared to, say, the Quran. First was the Quran, the first thing that Rasulullah brought to the ummah. We've got it, we try to follow it, but we're weak, and the people, the pious people, remind us. When it comes to the second thing, which is Sharia and Sunnah, then we do have weaknesses with regards to this. In comparison to the connection with the Quran, our connection with Sharia and Sunnah is more weaker. Then Allah Ta'ala prepares to strengthen this as well, because this cannot be. If this goes, Sharia and Sunnah, then the whole deen is gone. Islam is gone. So Allah Ta'ala says, I want to continue the deen till Qiyamah. I want to protect the deen. Then Allah Ta'ala sent people such like, for example, Mujaddad al-Afani rahmatullahi alayhi, Subhanallah, come amongst the people in the world and they do the ihya of the sunnah, they revive the sunnah. Allah Ta'ala created mujahideen, personalities, individuals, that whenever there's something more weak in the ummah, remember this, then Allah Ta'ala to increase that strength in it, you need to work harder on it. So the Quran is there, we have a connection with the Quran, it's around the world, it's being printed, people read it, the research, okay, they don't practice it, but at least they read it. Yeah, at least they're doing hifz in the households. Even today in the households, there's hafidin, there's people who've memorized the Quran, young children. I just met a brother, and there was a 10-year-old child, and he said, mashallah, he's done 24 juz, 24 para, he's done hifz. And I looked at the child, he said, such a child, young child, subhanallah. And Noor came into that when I saw that child. It's also the struggle and the effort of the mother and the father. I see it as a young child, mashallah, he's already done 24 paras, juz, mashallah. So the strength, the connection with the Quran is there. But with regards to the second thing that Rasul, we don't need to work too hard on the Quran, but if we look at the Sunnah and the Sharia, then I feel ashamed saying that we have left the Sunnah. We've left the way of the Sunnah. So for this reason, we need to work harder on this. For this purpose, for this objective, because it's very essential and necessary. Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, without this, there's no way out. That قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. Allah says, without the Quran, there's no way out. So Allah Ta'ala sent mujahideen, Allah Ta'ala sent great personalities to revive this second essential part of the deen. And they did ahya, they revived and made alive again the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So make it alive. It doesn't mean that the sunnah has died, because it cannot die. It cannot disappear. The sunnah is always alive, alhamdulillah. But it's dead inside us. It's evaporated and disappeared from inside us. The sunnah is there, shining, the glory of the sunnah is there. But, and it can never end. So what happens then is Allah Ta'ala then prepares for that factor of the deen to be strengthened in such a way that, subhanallah, Hazrat Shaykh Ali Murtaza Rahmatullah was in Gadai, but here the sunnah is being revived, thousands of miles away. These small children, just like when he saw the Quran, and I was happy when I see a small child, 6 years, 7 years old, he's wearing an imam and he's running, hastening. Then, mashallah, it's very great happiness that a young child, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, wearing imama, and they're wrestling with each other, and their shimlas, the tails of their imamas are shaking at the back. They're playing football. They don't know what they're wearing on the head. We cannot imagine the greatness of this deen, of this practice. How powerful a person is that, for example, he didn't come himself, Hazrat Ali Murtaza Rahmatullah, he didn't come himself here, personally. But subhanAllah, Allah kept such tasarruf and nuraniyat and light and nur and impact in his practice, that in this such a great country, big country like this, a big country like this, where negative aspects of life come out from. If I say this, then I'm not even afraid of saying this. Rather here, deen here gets spoiled the most, and the missions to spoil the deen also originate from it. Just like in Musa alayhi salam's house, in Pharaoh's house, Allah Ta'ala gave Musa alayhi salam for the rectification. The same way Hazrat Ali Murtaza rahmatullah, my sheikh, he was created to give the nasiha for here, for this locality. So it's not the Quran, he revived the sunnah. The Quran was continuing, as I said, the Quran is there already. So what we see with the fadl of Allah, with Allah's grace, what did we know that mashallah, this Qawm couldn't even think that in the house, for example, I came myself and I saw the outside. For example, if we go to buy milk in the decades ago, years ago, I used to see that there's a person going and he's going to get the milk bottle. First, he would wear the trouser and the shirt and the blazer and then go, and he'd hide his libas and he'd say, no, I can't go like this. He'd take his shalwar off, wear the trouser, then he'd go to buy the milk bottle. That was the case years ago. And in opposition to that, there's a lot of opposition. Even our own people, they do opposition to the sunnah. There's not as opposition to the Quran. The Quran is there, but the opposition to the deen, even our own people are opposed to the deen. Yes, we do against the Quran in a unique way. We don't believe in the ahkams, the laws of the Quran. But openly, blatantly, we oppose the sunnah and the sharia. There's no need for it. Why is there this extreme following of the deen? It's against the way of the dunya. We can't live in the dunya with this. This is the daily routine of our Muslims. Forget about the people who aren't in Islam. It's within our own homes. So how can then Islam continue, tell me? So even for this, Allah Ta'ala prepared a solution. Allah prepared, as I said, it's not the case that the deen won't continue. If here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this country can revive those sunnahs. of Rasulullah and can develop the thoughts of the people and improve the mindsets of the people and to come closer to the Sunnah of Rasulullah, then today, where there are Muslims, will this regeneration not occur, revival not occur? Allah gives the great proof that forget, don't even imagine, doesn't matter how much opposition you do and act in opposition, but it's so strong this nur that you cannot blow it out. You cannot, through blowing it out, you cannot blow this light out in your attempt. The third thing that I said, what did I say? What was the third function of the Holy Prophet ﷺ? Wa yuzakihim. This has totally disappeared from the Ummah. End of story. It's totally been destroyed, this pillar of the deen. So one is the Quran, fine, mashallah. Sunnah, yes, people are weak. But when it comes to the third function of tazkiyah, purification of the soul, people have totally forgotten what is this. What is tazkiyah? And all of the success, the pillar of success is based on tasawwuf, tazkiyah. This is the ruh of the Quran, this is the ruh of the sunnah, this is the soul of our deen, tazkiyah. The purification, the third function of the Holy Prophet. Without the purification, you cannot get taqwa. Without purification, you cannot get the belovedness. You cannot be beloved servant of Allah. You will not get amal. You can do big practice physically. Yes? All day long you can do tawaf and umrah and hajj and read the Quran, continue to do everything. But the person who inside does not have tazkiyah and purification and cleaning, he has nothing. What is tazkiyah? What is tazkiyah defined as? I'm not saying these are pious elders, the pious predecessors have said this. Don't go against me, the people keep saying bad to me, or negative to me, all the way, every time you keep talking about the sunnah, etc. It's not me who's saying these words. These are those people, our pious predecessors who speak, and I'm just sharing with you their teachings. I'm not saying from my own knowledge, so don't attach this to me, alhamdulillah. That I've been given the honor with Allah's karam that I'm speaking the haq, the truth, subhanallah. I'm not afraid of speaking the truth or speaking openly. If I was afraid, then today you would not be wearing the imamas. Yes. Yes, a person doesn't get scared. He's not afraid. He's not running away or hiding. Or hiding here, hiding there, hiding there. No. This question doesn't arise. Such a mujahid never hides. He never hides. The monkeys are those people who give the bad accusations. They themselves are like that. We don't hide. The people who hide, how can he hide? If all his people are apparent and visible, yes, his students, subhanAllah, if his students are visible openly, then will he hide? The person who's given the teaching? So these are those people who are opposed to the sunnah, to the deen of Allah, the wretched people, Allah Ta'ala sealed their hearts. Summum bukumun umyum fa'um la yarjun. Allah Ta'ala says, I've sealed their hearts. Their hearts are closed. They are immersed in the zalalat and the wretchedness. And in which, that if you are opposed to the wali Allah, then what Allah Ta'ala say? That if you're opposed to my wali and speak against him, then what does Allah Ta'ala say? Then be prepared for clash with me, Allah says. Why? What's the reason for this? Not for that person, Allah says. You're not in the clash with that individual that you're saying bad to that person, fine. If you dishonor him, fine. You disrespect him, fine. But Allah says, because there's something inside that person who you're dishonoring, that he is doing the hiya of the sunnah. He's reviving the sunnah in the Quran. He is presenting the deeds of Allah Ta'ala's deen to the people. So you're not opposing him, you're not enemy with him, Allah says. Directly you are committing enmity with Allah, Allah says, when you oppose that person who's propagating the deen. Do you know what I'm saying? So that's why Allah Ta'ala says, that my wali, my friend, when you oppose him, when you go against him, because the wali Allah is doing the work of the deen, he's on a mission. He's not doing it for his own sake. The work of the deen, he can't do yourself until Allah Ta'ala doesn't give ijazah, he doesn't give hukum and instruction. An individual cannot spread the deen. When the hukam comes, he has the strength, he has the permission, he faces the dilemmas and the barriers, then he stands firm. And you'll call that person a coward? How can that person be a coward if he's promoting the deen? So what's the situation? Tazkiyah. The third function of the Holy Prophet. A person who doesn't practice tazkiyah doesn't have the ruh. The soul, he doesn't have the ruh of the Quran. You won't have the ruh of the Quran when you read it. You won't have the ruh in your salah. You won't have ruh, the soul, in your deeds. So the most important action is, and most important for this reason as well, and the reason why it's most important is because it's the least practice in Ummah. If we don't practice this, then our sunnah becomes weak. If the sunnah becomes weak, then our deen goes weak. Our Quran becomes weak. Our iman becomes weak. Our yaqeen becomes weak. Our certainty becomes weak. That's it. So it then becomes an artificial person, an artificial mu'min in the qabr, in the grave, in the hereafter. He cannot be successful. What hisab will he give? What reckoning will he give? So this is the summary. Such a big amal, tazkiyah, purification, tasawwuf, purification of the soul. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanallah, ajeeb statement I will share with you now. Unique statement. For that, Allah ta'ala says that for the Quran, Allah says the fuqaha, the ulayma, the mujtahideen. Ajeeb point is coming in my mind, I'm presenting this with you. For the sunnah, Allah ta'ala sends to revive the sunnah, Allah ta'ala makes the mujahideen, just like Mujaddad al-Aftani, rahmatullahi. Hazrat Mulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi, Hazrat Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Sahib, these people came to do ahya of the sunnah, isn't it? Okay? But for tazkiyah, purification of the soul, Allah says, I will prepare to revive tazkiyah. I will prepare myself. I will spread the tazkiyah. I will spread purification. How did Allah ta'ala spread this? You'll see now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I know best for my ummah that they need tazkiyah, purification. Allah says, I will revive this myself. And I will keep on reminding every year I will revive this function of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, that you are failures due to this reason because you don't do tazkiyah. I will remind you when you do tazkiyah, then see how high you will go in your status. How does Allah Ta'ala revive tazkiyah? Allah has given us this month that we're sitting in. Yes. This month solely, I tell you, this month is only for what purpose? For tazkiyah, for purification of the soul. This month of Ramadan. Tazkiyah. Allah Ta'ala sent this month for tazkiyah and for not for any other purpose. It's not come for salah, it's not come from Quran, it's not come from ibadat. All those things we do during this month. But tazkiyah, Allah Ta'ala says to revive tazkiyah, to purify the souls and the hearts and the inner states of the Muslimin. Allah says that I will do it because when the tazkiyah ends, the khankas when they disappear, when the walis of Allah, when their sohbat goes, everything goes then Allah Ta'ala says. Everything disappears. There's a murid, for example, a student. And he goes to the sheikh, his teacher, he meets him, alhamdulillah, and he tries, he makes effort. And he gets warnings, and he gets guidance. When he runs away from the sheikh, and he separates himself, and he's on his own, then what happens? First and foremost, a word comes that the mashayikh say, that he has gone far from Allah. Remember this point. These are the words. Yes, the pious predecessors say what? When the student goes away from the sheikh physically, then what's happened? He's gone far from Allah. In reality, he's not gone far from his teacher. He's gone far from Allah. The reason being, because tazkiyah, all of his teaching of tazkiyah, he's wrapped it up and he's thrown it away. When shukuk and doubts and waswasa as taking him far from the sheikh physically. And about him, the pious people say, it's a big loss. He's gone far from Allah. That even though he's praying salah, even though he's reading the Quran, reciting the Quran, but the reason is because inside him the ruh, the soul of tazkiyah has evaporated, is vanished. So then he's gone far from Allah, the individual. Yes, because they understand this is tazkiyah, this is purification. Batin, the inner state of a Muslim, the purifying, the inner state. Inside, for example, if you don't clean your house for a few days, a lot of dust and dirt will come. Accumulates. For example, many days in my house I see that for a few days the house folk, if they don't clean the house, they don't, then you see dust, your kitabs, your books, 2 days, 3 days, if I don't clean the book, then there's dust, isn't it? There's dust or soil. Your car stood there 2-3 days, if you don't wash the car, it becomes dirty. So this is the principle of the dunya. Whatever you don't clean or dust down, it will become dirty, soiled. So tell me, the most precious thing, the bath in our inner state, if we don't clean that, will that not become dirty? Obviously, common sense principle, isn't it? You go to the shopping center, you have to go out. Physically, externally, we see things accumulate dirt. For example, you're going to work, your shop place, your business place, or you're working, you're an employee in an office, and you won't do wrong thing by doing that, will you? You're doing the right thing because this is a principle of the deen. You need to earn, you have to bring halal earnings home, you have to spend. But all of these places, there's dirt there physically when you go out, yes? And there's also nafs there present. Yeah, you're doing the right thing, you're working there, but there's dirt there, there's dust there, there's impurities there. Impurities. So Allah Ta'ala says, there will be impurities there. But to protect you, you need to protect yourself, Allah Ta'ala says. You have to save yourself. You have to clean yourself somehow. For example, you go out into the dunya, you become dirty and you're soiled or dusty. You come home, you have to take the shower, you have to have a bath, you have to clean yourself, your body physically. Not that you come out and then you go out dirty, oh, I'm not going to go out to work, I'm going to get dirty. No, you have to go out. But when you come back, you wash yourself, you clean yourself, you become pure. You go to work, go to your shop, business place, premises, there'll be dirt. Yes, for example, from your eyes, your mouth, your hands, you will commit the wrong deeds, there will be dirt. Allah Ta'ala says, when you come back, you need to purify yourself, clean yourself. Just like you clean your body physically, but the dirt inside, the impurities, for example, you wash your body, yes, and you go out, you can meet people and talk to people, but the dirt and impurities within us that accumulate during the day when we go into the dunya, then you're not capable of meeting Allah at that time. Yes, the dirt of the batin, the inner self, it will never allow you to meet Allah. It's very dirty, severe sins, lying, takabbur, riya, hasad, envy, all of these defects and sins, they destroy a person until he cannot go close to Allah after that. So, subhanAllah, Allah says, wahid, one way method, that for example, you're doing a small deed, but if you're pure inside, even if you do a small deed, you will become a high in status, high in status. Even if it's a small deed you're committing, but because you've purified yourself inside your path, that small deed becomes so big and great that there's no hisab, no comparison with that. So all of these things, tazkiyah, purification to clean your batin, your soul, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that the fast during Ramadan, this is the action of fasting, the whole month of fasting is teaching us the message of tasawwuf, subhanallah. And it's not giving us anything else. Look, every ibadah, every worship action, it is done physically with the body. Yes, I'm not telling you what is coming, I'm not teaching you from a kitab. Whatever is coming in my heart, I'm sharing with you. So I don't think that other kitabs open in front of me or a book. Yeah, so if I go here, left and right, just tell me, remind me. So every ibadah, every physical worship action you do with the limbs of the body, and there's parts of the worship. If you put those parts of the worship together, then there's a name of the ibadah. I'll give you an example from the dunya so you understand. Then you'll easily understand what I'm saying. For example, whatever's coming in my heart, I share with you. Yes, let's take a tile. Yes, the tiles here. Yeah, and let's take the tires of the car. There's the steering wheel, there's the seats of the car, all the parts. So will you call the tire the car? No, you'll say it's a tire. The steering wheel, will you call it a car? No, you'll call it the steering wheel. Yes, there's the engine lying on the side, you'll call it engine. All these parts, when you connect them together, assemble them, connect them and fasten them together, what will you call that? All of them assembled together, it was the car. Subhanallah. You understand the example? You understand that worldly example? Yes. So it becomes a car. All those parts and components fastened together become the motor car. You're stood there. Will anyone say to you, you're praying salah? If you're bowing, will they say you're praying? If you're in the sajda, will they say you're praying? When you're stood, you've got qiyam, you've got the ruku, you've got the sajda. You've got all the parts of salah come together. When you do them in one time, what will we say? He's praying salah. He's praying, that person. Subhanallah. So the parts are separate. But when you bring those parts of salah together and you do it in one movement, one rhythm, that's salah. And that movement will represent salah. If you take one of those movements out and you don't do them, they'll say he's not worshipping. If you don't do sajda, will we say he's praying salah? No. If you don't do qiyam, if you're not standing, will you say he's praying salah? It's lazim. Everything has to be done together. So my friends, the fasting is also ibadah. Fasting. So I thought, what's in the fast? What are the components? Shall I share with you what are the components of fasting? Subhanallah. Because everything, that these components are not related to any other ibadah. Allah Ta'ala says, I want to do your tazkiyah of the whole ummah in Ramadan. So I gave them the fast. Don't read Quran. Don't do any other action. Don't do anything in this day or night. But do those actions that I want you to do. Assemble together, it will be the fast and your tazkiyah will be performed. So this is the objective. So if you don't do your tazkiyah, listen to this kamal. Subhanallah, Allah Ta'ala wants us to do our tazkiyah. He wants to purify every ummati, every Muslim. Allah wants to purify in this month of Ramadan. Allah says, I want to make you pure so you become muttaqis. Every human being can be a muttaqi. Look, every person, for example, a poor soul like me, doesn't pray salah, doesn't do any good actions. He comes into Ramadan. Soon as he enters into Ramadan, he starts to fast. Allah guarantees that he will come out. Until the end of Ramadan, he will be a muttaqi at the end of Ramadan. Yes, he hasn't, for example, do any special action to become a muttaqi, he hasn't gone to a khan, he hasn't met a sheikh, but directly Allah Ta'ala has prepared, Allah has promised, that with this ibadah, whoever comes into the fasting month during Ramadan, he will come out at the end of Ramadan as a muttaqi, a wali Allah. Why? Because there are such components and parts of the fast, that every part and component, every element, when it comes together, it purifies that person, it does his tazkiyah. It purifies him, cleans him. Look, tasawwuf and tazkiyah, tasawwuf is purification of the soul. They are principles of tazkiyah, of cleaning ourselves, our inner self. Who does this? Who teaches this? The teachers in the khanqah, they teach us this. So Allah Ta'ala, to How does Allah Ta'ala do tazkiyah of the mu'min? What are the parts of the fast that make a fast? First and foremost, we wake up in the morning. This is called sahri. So do we not wake up pre-dawn? Before dawn, it's hard, isn't it? That will you not wake up in the morning to do sahri? Nobody gets up, it's so hard. If anyone tells you to wake up on your own or to do tahajjud, but to fast, everybody will get up. Subhanallah. Who doesn't pray salah? The tahajjud is a great action. A person who hasn't even prayed salah, he's getting up at that time in Ramadan. The Allah Ta'ala calls, oh, Yelon, come and ask for me at that time. The third part of the night, come and ask for me. I will give to you. I'm about to hear. I want to listen to your lessons. I'm listening to your request. But those people, mashallah, are clean. They wake up at tahajjud time during the year. But a person like me doesn't even pray salah. Allah Ta'ala wants to do my tazkiyah. He wakes me up as well at that time. Do you understand what I'm saying? He wakes up. Who's waking up? The person who never prays salah, the poor soul. Oh, you have to keep the fast, I have to keep the fast, I have to get up. So he gets up before dawn. He gets up at sahri time. And he's doing a dua, Allah Ta'ala accepts that dua of his at that time. Allah Ta'ala promises, subhanAllah, there's only a little bit of time left. The topic is fantastic. I'm thinking, how shall I continue this? I'm trying to rush, but then the taste of the topic, it ends when you're in a rush speaking. So he gets up, pre-dawn, Allah Ta'ala says, accept your dua at that time. So that man who doesn't even know about salah during the rest of the year, but he's got to that maqam in fasting because he stood, Allah Ta'ala has prepared for his tazkiyah in Ramadan. So he didn't even know that his tazkiyah is happening. But the person who purposely, mashallah, who get up, then look at their maqam at that time. That's how Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi became. And Khwaja Mohiuddin Chishti, he said, I want to do my tazkiyah. He's dirty, impure. He wants his tazkiyah to be formed. He seeks a sheikh, a teacher. He goes to the teacher, to the sheikh. He takes hold of his hand. And he's doing this purposely. Subhanallah. And how is he doing this? Through tazkiyah, he wants to purify himself. He wants to clean himself. He wants to purify his batin. So, when a person, he doesn't know, he has no idea, and Allah Ta'ala is enabling him, developing him, generating his tazkiyah, subhanAllah, then he gets up at that time when all du'as are accepted. The person who goes with the niyyah purposely, imagine his maqam at that time. SubhanAllah. So you're not doing a small deed at that time, say SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. It's not a small deed at that time, my brothers. Do you understand? So the first portion of the fast is what? The pre-dawn meal, suhoor. When the walis of Allah during the year wake up at that time, tahajjud time. When they come from mujahida, they put their hand in the hand of the sheikh, they come to the khanqah, that I have started tahajjud. Yes, it's a great action. So who's getting up today during Ramadan? A person straightforward, person who doesn't practice deen, he's getting up for his stomach to eat, but you have to get up at that time, tahajjud time. Do you understand the point now, my point? Allah Ta'ala is enabling him. Who's giving this? Ramadan is giving this to us automatically. And who is doing our tazkiyah? Allah is doing our tazkiyah. Direct to the ummah. Such an important action, because without this we cannot be forgiven. SubhanAllah. So the second action, Allah says, eat now. Does anyone eat in the morning at this time normally during the year? Get up 2 a.m. and someone feeds you by force, will you eat at that time? Normally 2-3 a.m. in the morning. Does anyone tell you to wake up during the year? Are you hungry during the year? Maybe you are. But normally a person who can eat at that time in the morning? Even if you make a paratha by force and you're eating by force, subhanAllah. Something or other is being cooked. Eat, brother. Eat, sister, etc. Subhanallah. Tazki Allah Ta'ala is doing him. There's a principle of tazki. Remember this. Our Sufi Hazrat, they teach this. Eat less, sleep less, and talk less, meet people less, and speak less. These are all principles. The first lesson of the rule from the Shaykh is this, especially in the Naqshbandi tariqa order, that Allah Ta'ala loves the person in seclusion, isolation, distancing. Today, I was reading Hazrat Khwaja Masoom rahmatullahi, he was giving instruction to his murid. He said that don't leave seclusion. Seclusion is a beloved action. The Shaykh's telling his teacher that give preference to seclusion, being separate and isolation. For us, eat less and sleep less and meet people less and speak less. And all of these things are important as the principle of tasawwuf. Why? Because with this, a person's inner self, his ego, his nafs is clean. If he doesn't do this, then he makes mistakes. The more person practices, then he's cleaning his batin, his soul. So what's Allah Ta'ala saying? So Allah Ta'ala says, wake up, pre-dawn meal. Yes, the first principle of tasawwuf, then eat, Allah says, at that time. So tell me, nobody can eat at that time. Hey, Allah Ta'ala has given a message. Pay attention to this fact. That eat definitely something. In suhoor time, Allah has put a lot of barakah. But what does Allah say? Just eat a little bit so you got the power and an energy to live through the day. And there's so much barakah in that, that even if you eat 2 dates at that time, you'll get the power and an energy for the rest of the day. The whole of the rest of the day of fasting, you'll be able to spend the day. It's wrong that you think that you have to eat 2 paratha I've experienced this myself. Because there's so much barakah in sahur, so the message Allah is giving, that Allah is not inviting us to eat too much at that time. Allah says, even if you eat a little bit, but your tazkiyah will be performed. In eating less, you're being given the habit at sahri time, sahur time, eat less. Allah says, why are you upset that you have to fill the stomach and eat so much food? Allah says, I'll keep you hungry for the rest of the day, so eat less at this time. You can't eat too much at that time anyway. If forcefully you eat, you'll get ill or upset, and you'll be burping, and your stomach will be upset. A person says, what shall I do? Allah says, do what I'm telling you to do at that time, sahur time. The objective of this time to eat is that you get barakah when you wake up, and you do something for tazkiyah, then automatically Allah Ta'ala instills the barakah. So the meaning of sahri, Allah Ta'ala says, eat less, don't run after parathas. Just keep it less. You keep your hand light at that time, suhoor time. Okay, I'll eat a little bit, so that I fulfill this action that Allah Ta'ala wants me to do. And there'll be barakah in my sunnah. Inshallah, a lot of strength will come into you. And you'll do all the actions during the day. If you eat too much, there's no tazkiyah. So this is the principle of who? Of tasawwuf. Subhanallah. So sawm and siyam, there's a difference here. Sawm is to keep the mouth shut. So, and siyam is to control the whole body, subhanAllah. So here, sawm, this is to keep your mouth shut. Don't eat too much. You start the day like that, Allah Ta'ala says, what happens? In the fast, the biggest point that we see in the fast is, says, beware. After that, you are not to do any wrong action. Don't lie, it will be makruh your fast. All day long, you need to spend the day carefully. And you try, and you know that, oh, you made a mistake. Any person who's fasting, he tries to stave himself away, keep away from the sins. Allah Ta'ala has woken you at that time for salah. Allah Ta'ala has woken you up to eat at that time, suhoor time. Allah says that there's no extra ibadah in Ramadan that we've been given. Is there any extra ibadah? No. Rather, one action. Allah says, tazkiyah, what is the ibadah? That don't backbite, don't lie during the day, don't commit fraud, don't deceive, and your fast will be complete. There's no other extra worship. So the third principle has come as well. Purification. This is how a person purifies. He eats less. He sleeps less. He is habitual and gets used to waking up in the morning, early morning. And the rest of the day, he will live the day. Alhamdulillah. When he's got hunger inside, the more a person is hungry inside, when he's a light stomach, he's not full, yes, and then his sins reduce and the bad actions reduce. Yes, but the more a person's stomach is full, he goes towards bad. But when he's got the empty stomach, then his thoughts go less towards bad. Especially the young people, the youthful people who have shahwat and passions. That's why I stated in the sunnah to keep more fast. So that the shahwat, the passions and the lusts, they reduce. The fasting eliminates the lust and the passion. So that's what Allah Ta'ala says, the person who fasts, then inside him, the evil thoughts, the sinful thoughts, and the lying or the bad actions, the backbiting, he controls himself because I don't want to spoil my fast. This is tazkiyah that Allah Ta'ala is doing for us. That he's not giving us any extra ibadah. And then when the evening comes, until the evening, then he does these three things, then his batin within inside is being purified and cleaned. SubhanAllah. In one day, Allah Ta'ala purifies the batin of that person. When the batin becomes clean and pure, then what's the first reward of tazkiyah for that person? Allahu Akbar. The first reward is that when a person's batin, it doesn't take long. The first reward is this, that Allah Ta'ala's qurb is attained. SubhanAllah. And so close he gets to Allah, so close, SubhanAllah, that Allah Ta'ala says that you are breaking the fast. Whatever dua you ask at that time is accepted. SubhanAllah. And your every action becomes ibadah. That one person until today never prayed salah, but when he does tazkiyah until the evening gets to that maqam, that status with tazkiyah, the Allah Ta'ala says, he's my beloved servant. He's now my beloved servant. And that poor soul doesn't even know that he's so close to Allah and high in status. Allah says, Jannah for you has been decorated. Now at that time, one fasting person, if he passes away in the state of fasting, immediately he goes to Jannah paradise because his tazkiyah has been performed. He is close to Allah at that time. Tareeb, so close to Allah at that time. SubhanAllah. The difference is, Ajeeb, unique statement is coming to my mind. I'm sharing with you. You know, we say, and understand this point is something to understand if you can understand what I'm saying. That we say commonly, regularly, that in this month, Allah Ta'ala has put such barakah, that if you pray nafil, what thawab do we get? You get the thawab of fard. And if you do fard, you get thawab of 70 times multiplied. Do you understand what I'm saying? In normal days, if you feed somebody, there's no thawab. Maybe. But if you feed someone in fasting month, if you break somebody's fast, how much thawab? Allah says, immediately all your sins are removed, eliminated. And not only does Allah say that there are conditions, Allah says, whatever is your capability, the amount, the volume you can feed him, and you break that person's fast, Allah says, all your sins removed at that time. If you give sadaqah, Allah says the amount of sadaqah you give in Ramadan is like you have given and spent the amount of the height and the weight of the Mount of Uhud. Thou now understand this point here. The why is there barakah inside a person's every action? He's praying nafil, increased to fard and fard to something before Ramadan when he prayed salah. He was not pure, his batin was not pure. This is the point to understand. His batin was not pure. But when he kept the fast until the evening, due to the fast, his batin was purified, his soul. When he becomes pure, then everything Allah Ta'ala multiplies due to that. Due to the purification, mashallah. This is the point to understand. So when a person does tazkiyah, when he becomes a wali Allah, with tazkiyah, what does he become? A wali Allah. Due to purifying himself, cleaning himself. When he does tazkiyah, then his maqam becomes high. Then his everything, when he raises his hands, his dua is accepted. Allah Ta'ala has shown this, demonstrated this, that if one with a fast, one fast this becomes, then if you do tazkiyah for the rest of your life and purify yourself, then imagine the maqam you can achieve and attain. So I will summarize. This topic is very lengthy and is very detailed, just to taste and share with you. We're talking about tazkiyah. So here the message Allah Ta'ala has given to the human being. The whole of Ramadan gives this message. This is the meaning of fasting. But this subject of Islam has reduced and become weak. So Allah says, go and revive it. That a person, when he gets to a wali Allah, his company, he goes, for this reason, do my tazkiyah. Just like we've come into Ramadan to fast, Allah said, I prepared automatically for the rest of the year, that go to the company of a sheikh for the rest of the year. That, just like I was saying to you yesterday, what does Ramadan give? It gives us taqwa. Where do we get taqwa from? Allah says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. This is the message of Ramadan, isn't it? That you come into Ramadan, Allah says, I'll purify you, you'll attain taqwa. So Allah says, but the rest of the year, I've given you an example of fasting, gives you taqwa. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha kunu ma'as-sadiqin, Allah says. That if during fasting you can get taqwa, if for the rest of the year you want to attain taqwa, then you must go, kunu ma'as-sadiqin, and He will give you taqwa when you sit in the company of the pious people, subhanAllah. So it's not just Ramadan goes, we become weak, fasting's gone, and we're destroyed. No, Allah says, you must continue this practice after. Continue this path. Ramadan continues. Where will we get Ramadan? You'll get Ramadan after Ramadan in the Khanqah. There you will learn less sleeping, less eating, less ghibah, less speaking. Time and time again, your sheikh will pull you together. He'll give you tazkiyah sheets. He will make you work hard. He'll explain to you. This happens, isn't it? The wali Allah, the sheikh, that's his connection with the teacher. He won't teach you anything else. He will tell you Ramadan. He will tell you the message of Ramadan for the rest of the year and the rest of your life. He will give the principles of Ramadan. Subhanallah. That's the teaching. Yes, so taqwa that you learn during Ramadan. Allah says it doesn't stop after Ramadan. Allah says if you go to a sheikh, my wali, go to a friend of Allah, he will make you a muttaqi. He will develop you into a muttaqi. If you have his sohbat, his company, his connection, you'll get those same features just like you got in Ramadan. The same feeling of Ramadan you'll get. And you'll be purified and clean and you'll become my friend, Allah Ta'ala says. So my brothers, what a great message Allah Ta'ala has given to us. Alhamdulillah. We should revive this. Allah Ta'ala has revived this. Just like Allah Ta'ala revives the Quran and the ahya of the sunnah. So ahya of tasawwuf, revival of tasawwuf is being done in Ramadan. Go to a wali Allah, a friend of Allah. Sit with him, have his company and improve your life. Allah Ta'ala says, I've given you 30 days of Ramadan. I've given you the taste of tasawwuf, purification. But for the rest of your life, what do? When you come out at the other side of Ramadan, immediately find a wali Allah, a sheikh, sit in his company and learn tazkiyah, learn purification from him. Continue that practice. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen. Recite the Rushi.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Assalatu wassalamu ala sayyidina al-mursaleen. Shafi'i muslimin. Da'am al-yaseen. Al-habib al-ameen. لا إله إلا الله نستغفر الله ونسألك الجنة ونعوذ بك من النار اللهم اغفر لنا اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا وارضنا وتقبل منا وادخلنا الجنة وادخلنا الجنة ونجنا من النار ونجنا من النار يا رحمن الرحيم يا رحمن الرحيم اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم نعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك محمد محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان عليك الولاء ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.